boost growth. Gross domestic product GDP contracted by 0.3% in the 3 months to December, having shrunk by 0.1% between July and September, official data has recently shown. The fourth quarter contraction was deeper than all economists' estimates in a Reuters poll, which had pointed to a 0.1% decline. A sterling weakened against the dollar and the euro. Investors added to their promises on the Bank of England cutting interest rates this year, and businesses call for more help from the government in a budget plan due on March 6th. The recent data means Britain joins Japan among the group of seven advanced economies in a recession, although it is likely to be short-lived and shallow by historical standards. Canada has yet to report GDP data for the fourth quarter. Britain's economy stands just 1% higher than its level of late 2019 before the COVID-19 pandemic struck, with only Germany among G7 countries faring worse. British households are due to see their first drop in living standards between one national election and the next since the Second World War, analysts have said. Ruth Gregory, deputy chief UK economist at Capital Economics, said the GDP figures had more political significance than economic, with voters due to elect lawmakers in two constituencies. Gregory said the news that the UK slipped into technical recession in 2023 will be a blow for the Prime Minister on a day when he faces the prospect of losing two by-elections. Finance Minister Jeremy Hunt said the war signs the British economy is turning a corner and we must stick to the plan, cutting taxes on work and businesses to build a stronger economy. The opposition Labour Party rejected those claims. Rachel Reeves, Labour's top economy official, said the Prime Minister can no longer credibly claim that his plan is working or that he has turned the corner on more than 14 years of economic decline under the Conservatives. Media reports said Hunt was seeking to cut billions of pounds from public spending plans to fund pre-election tax cuts in his budget if penned by tight finances. The Office for National Statistics, ONS, said the economy grew 0.1% across 2023 compared with 2022. The BOE forecasts output will pick up slightly in 2024, but only to 0.25% growth. Britain's economy has been stagnating for nearly 2 years. The COVID-19 pandemic triggered the deepest contraction on record over two quarters in early 2020, when the economy slumped by 22%. Before that, the global financial crisis sparked a severe recession that lasted just over a year from the second quarter of 2008 through the second quarter of 2009.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's to my brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the first divinely appointed Imam, this living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. This beautiful mizan, as the Holy Quran refers to, this balance, this measure of good deeds, this most beautifully trained individual, trained by the best of creatures and the best of creations, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. It is this Amir al-Mu'mineen, this Commander of the Faithful, this leader of the righteous, this first divinely appointed Imam, whose personality we are trying to get a small glimpse of. Of course, this personality is connected to the divine, it is connected to the eternal, it is connected to the past and the present and the future. And so we find so many beautiful lessons coming out from the universal persona of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, when we talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course we talk about the defense of religion, we talk about the defense of Islam, we talk about the defense of women and children, the defense of orphans and widows, the defense of the oppressed people, the defense of all of those who are under the yoke of oppression. When we think about Imam Ali alayhi salam, we think about the man who was at the forefront of the battlefield, protecting those who did not have the strength to protect themselves. He was always there to defend the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was always there to defend Islam. He was always there to defend the forces of Islam. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he would go forwards in the battlefield and he would take up the challenge despite the very threat of death, so that others would be able to be comfortable and others would be able to live and breathe just a little bit easier. In the present day, dear friends, talking about an individual like Imam Ali alayhi salam, do we not feel this incredible pain and anguish for our Palestinian brothers and sisters? Palestinians, human beings, Muslims, who are facing probably the greatest form of oppression that the modern day has seen. Overwhelming majority of those killed are women and children. That means how many families are being destroyed? How many future generations are being eradicated? There are no schools or hospitals or universities or mosques or churches. All these things are being destroyed and leveled to the ground. Should we not, as followers of this very Imam Ali alayhi salam, whom we just discussed, with these various characteristics of defending and helping and supporting and strengthening the oppressed, should we not do something in order to help these people across the world? And should we not do something to help these Palestinian people, innocent women and children, elderly, sick, who are being murdered in plain sight? How can the world be able to handle this amount of oppression? And yes, we end our program with a dua, a prayer that may Allah, the Almighty, the Exalted, hasten the reappearance of the inheritor of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that once again justice and balance can be brought back to this incredibly broken world. A beautiful lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ai واقبل ثناي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائك بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
Innaka ala kulli shay'in qadeer.
Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajabali.
So Allah says, warn you near ones, number one. In that warning, he goes to the house of Abu Talib, unanimously accepted historically. In the house of Abu Talib, even Abu Lahab was present. And the Prophet says, I have been made a prophet of God. Who among you will be my helper, my friend, my successor? You find Imam Ali alayhi salam was only 9-10 years of age. He stood up and says, I. Stop for a moment. History. Young boy, what does he know about religion? Young boy, what does he know? Maybe he was too presumptuous. Maybe he was too emotional. Maybe he was childish. True. But let's go to the Quran and ask the Quran, Ya Quran, O Quran, what is your principle about appointing people who are young? Allah says, you want to know? Go to Surah Al-Maryam. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ Maryam alayhi salam points to this baby. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ Wait a minute. Baby talking? Hold on a second. This is not even in Christian doctrine. Allahu Akbar. Allah is saying principle. Don't you dare bring age as the driving force of leadership. If that's the case, then negate Isa's appointment as a prophet of God in the cradle, standing as it is being held by its mother. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ And I bring good news wherever I am. Wow, what is Jesus saying? Can you challenge, can you top a baby who's born, just born, saying that? What about a 10-year-old representative of Allah says, I? Can we challenge? Now, if we're going to bring cultural, pagan, historical inferences into it, then we might as well throw religion out. Because if culture is going to drive our religion, we don't need religion. Let's make it as we go, and we can have fun with it. But Allah says, لا تقدموا يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله or you believe don't go ahead of Allah and His Messenger and have God consciousness for it is God who is the lawgiver not you and me principle here so you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the messenger to appoint and he makes it clear and then within this period of time till the end of the messenger's life you find the appointment is consistent there is no inconsistency I will conclude shortly with this that you find that when the messenger erects, he asks the people, Allah has asked me, he's soon going to take me. Then the messenger asks, don't I have more right over you than you have over yourselves? They said, yes, right, authority. The messenger is awla, and Nabiyu awla has greater authority. Here awla means order, authority, mastership. Then the Prophet says, He takes the hands of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says, "Man kuntum maula, fahada Aliyun maula. Allahumma wali man wala, wa'adi man ada, wansur man nasara, wa'khdul man khadala." Why is the Prophet saying this famous statement known as the Hadith of Ghadir? Why is the Prophet saying this? He's showing the word maula here. If you ask the previous question, what did he ask? He didn't say, "Am I not your best friend?" Because some of them say Mawla here means friend. It's absurd for anyone to say that. It would be violating the principle of prophethood and his intelligence for him to erect a pulpit and to invite thousands of people in the hot weather within that region just to tell the world that this Ali ibn Abi Talib is my friend.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asle zinde ast dar tarikh
Islam. Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
معاویه 18 ماه با امیرالمومنین جنگی.
معاویه فوت امام علی علیه السلام in the battle of Siffin for about 18 months. He used any type of deceptive act to disunite the army of Imam Ali, but he was not successful. The only deception that worked was putting the Holy Quran on spears when the army of Imam Ali reached the camps of Muawiyah. By doing this, Muawiyah misled the army of Imam Ali through fake religious and holy attractions. The deceived army of Imam Ali thought that they are fighting the Quran and they left supporting Imam Ali alayhi salam.
امیرالمومنین علیه السلام فرمود اهل قرآن چیه؟ قرآن اون چیزیه که من دارم میگم.
امام علی علیه السلام told them not to be deceived by the traps of the enemy since I am the talking Quran. The army of Muawiyah put the Quran and spears to deceive you. The Kharijites or Khawarij were defending the Quran on the surface, but deep inside, the Satan deceived them through their religious temptations and desires. The Kharijites left defending Imam Ali alayhi salam and they disobeyed him because their understanding of the religion was a superficial one. In better words, the Satan deceived the Kharijites through their so-called holy wishes. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
in the limelight.
In the United States, former President Donald Trump confused Barack Obama for Joe Biden at a rally in Virginia on Saturday, 2nd of March, triggering further questions about the age of the likely Republican presidential nominee. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. According to a new poll by the New York Times and Siena College, a majority of voters in the United States believe Joe Biden is just too old to be an effective president. According to the poll's results, 73% of all registered voters believe Joe Biden is too old to be effective, in turn revealing spreading concerns about the 81-year-old president's mental competency. Among those who voted for Biden in 2020, 61% believe Biden's age will make him an ineffective president for a second term, with 26% indicating that they strongly agree and 35% indicating that they somewhat agree. The results of the wide-ranging poll, which were first released on Friday, 1st of March, are the latest blow to Joe Biden's election campaign, which has faced a barrage of criticism centered around Biden's age and widespread voters' fear about his ability to be president. At 81, Biden is the oldest president ever to seek re-election, though his likely challenger Donald Trump is only 4 years younger. However, in much recent polling, Joe Biden is usually trailing to Donald Trump, and he also faces high disapproval ratings. In response to whether Biden's age is such a problem that he's not capable of handling the job of president, 45% of total registered voters agreed in the latest New York Times Siena College study. Among those that voted for Biden 4 years ago, 19% said they agreed with the statement. Meanwhile, across all registered voters, 26% expressed that while Biden's age makes him ineffective, he's still able to handle the job of president well enough. Among those that voted for him in 2020, 41% agreed with the statement. In comparison to Joe Biden, 42% of all registered voters believe Donald Trump is just too old to be an effective president. Among those that voted for Trump in 2020, 5% indicated that they strongly agree, while 9% said they somewhat agree. Across all registered voters, 21% believe that the 77-year-old Donald Trump is ineffective, but he's still able to handle the job of president well enough, while only 19% said they believe Trump's age is such a problem that he's not capable of handling the job. The Business Insider has also covered the same story and tells us more. Donald Trump confused Barack Obama for Joe Biden at a rally in Virginia on Saturday, 2nd of March, triggering further questions about the age of the likely Republican presidential nominee who has made a string of such gaffes. It also comes at a time of similar concerns about Joe Biden. At 77 and 81 respectively, Donald Trump and Joe Biden are the oldest people to run for the presidency in American history. Trump on Saturday night, 2nd of March, in Richmond, Virginia, said, "Putin has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around a nuclear word. You heard that, nuclear. He's starting to talk nuclear weapons today." The crowd reportedly went silent as Donald Trump referenced Barack Obama, who left office more than 7 years ago. it's the third time that Donald Trump has made the blunder in the past 6 months. The former U.S. president's other gaffes include confusing his Republican rival Nikki Haley with former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Nikki Haley, 52 years old, who has defied Trump and several primary defeats to continue in the race for the Republican nomination, has tried to frame herself as the younger, healthier option, referring to Donald Trump and Joe Biden as grumpy old men in her campaign advertisements. Trump's mistake came the day after Joe Biden twice confused Ukraine and Gaza as he announced that the U.S. would airdrop humanitarian supplies to Palestinians in Gaza who are dying of starvation due to the Israeli bombardment of the territory. Joe Biden said on Friday, 1st of March, "In the coming days, we're going to join with our friends in Jordan and others who are providing airdrops of additional food and supplies into Ukraine." He added that the United States will seek to open up other avenues into Ukraine, including possibly a marine corridor. A White House official later clarified that Joe Biden meant Gaza and not Ukraine. The gaffe had been changed in the transcript of his remarks. Questions about Biden's age have intensified in recent months. The latest lapse came just days after he was declared fit for duty at his annual health check. White House physician Dr. Kevin O'Connor said Joe Biden fully executes all of his responsibilities without any exemptions or accommodations. A New York Times Siena College opinion poll found that 73% of registered voters polled believed that Joe Biden is simply too old to be an effective president, including 61% of those who voted for him in 2020. Voters seem less bothered about Donald Trump, who is just 4 years younger, with 42% of those polled saying Trump is just too old to be an effective president. While criticisms of the age issue on both sides are laced with political spin, age-related cognitive decline is real. As a person gets older, changes occur in all parts of the body, including the brain. According to the National Institute on Aging, certain parts of the brain shrink, including those important to learning and other complex mental activities. Communication between neurons becomes less effective, and blood flow in the brain may decrease. Healthy older adults can, however, learn new skills, form new memories, improve vocabulary and language skills. The National Institute on Aging is conducting research on so-called cognitive superagers, the minority of octogenarians and nanogenarians, whose memories are comparable to people 20 to 30 years younger.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, how do we change our natural makeup? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's great to be here, dear listeners. We are talking about how do we change our natural makeup. Now, it can be possible that when we talk about makeup, you thought about this cosmetics industry. But in reality, that's not the makeup that we are talking about. We're talking about a certain natural disposition that every single one of us has. Now, this disposition that comes about, for every single one of us, it depends on a whole bunch of different variables and factors. It
You know, some of them are within our control, some of them are not necessarily within our control. But what is definitely in our control is what we do with that disposition and how we change that disposition. Now, that's the natural makeup that we're talking about. So, for example, based upon, you know, the environment in which we grew up, the weather in which we grew up, right? An individual who grows up in an environment where it snows 6 months of the year is very different from an individual who grows up on an island, for example, right? Or somebody who grows up in the middle of a tropical rainforest, or somebody who grows up in a desert. These do have certain effects on an individual's disposition, their behavior, you know, their manners, and of course their culture. Now, this is just one of the examples in which we find that an individual's natural makeup is different from another individual's natural makeup. Now, of course, the kind of family that they grow up in, you know, language plays a role here, the environment plays a role, education plays a role, right? All of these different things, they help to, parents, of course, play a role. All of these things, they have a hand in creating our natural makeup or in creating our disposition over a lifetime. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about changing that natural makeup. Now, as we said, some of these things are in our control. Now, based upon that kind of those various different variables from which we grew up in and that disposition which is created after a certain while. Now, just as a very quick side note here, it's important to know that parents have a huge role to play here in shaping the natural disposition or the makeup of a child. You know, this is a huge responsibility, and parents really, you know, need to try to mold that disposition of children towards a Islamic lifestyle and towards a Islamic disposition. So anyways, how do we change that natural makeup? Well, because of the different variables, we find that some people, for example, become easily anxious. Some people become easily frustrated. Some people become easily saddened. Some people, they show a greater sense of resistance or resilience, or they're stronger. And well, how do you change that disposition? How do you change that makeup? And of course, to change that disposition towards a more Islamic lifestyle disposition. Of course, so here, first and foremost, we have to identify these various different aspects of us as an individual, see which one of them is a positive, which ones of them are negative. The negative ones we need to kind of control and help and mold over a certain period of time. And of course, the good ones need to be strengthened, they need to be promoted, they need to be worked on as well in order to make them stronger. These Islamically positive aspects of us should be enhanced, and the negative aspects should be diminished. And over time, with the help of Allah, we will be able to improve our natural disposition and make it more of an Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The U.S. Supreme Court could rule on Donald Trump's Colorado ballot eligibility just one day before the state's primary is set to open. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The American newspaper The Daily Beast has covered this story and tells us more. The Supreme Court signaled it will issue rulings on Monday, 4th of March, an unusual declaration that indicates it may have made a decision already on the high-stakes question of whether Colorado may legally bar Donald Trump from appearing on the state's primary ballot. On its website, the Supreme Court said it will release an order list on Monday, 4th of March, the day before Colorado's state primary is set to take place alongside several other states, a primary season event known as Super Tuesday. The High Court said in a statement on its website that it may release opinions beginning at 10 a.m. on Monday, 4th of March, but won't take the bench. The court typically issues its rulings from the bench, and the unusual note could reflect the expedited timeline on which it heard Donald Trump's immunity case and the decision's extremely sensitive timetable. The Supreme Court justices are not scheduled to take the bench again until 15th of March. Donald Trump is currently set to appear on the Colorado ballot despite a ruling made by the state Supreme Court, which declared that Trump is ineligible to run in the race because his role in the January 6, 2021 Capitol riots amounted to an insurrection. The state ruling has been on hold while Donald Trump appealed it. The Supreme Court held oral arguments in early February in the case, which hinges on the assertion that Donald Trump is barred from running for office under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, otherwise known as the Insurrection Clause. That provision was originally added to prevent ex-Confederates from holding U.S. office after the American Civil War on the grounds that they had broken their oaths to the Constitution and acted against it. Donald Trump's lawyers have denied that he participated in any insurrection and have argued that the president doesn't constitute an officer of the United States, as written in the text. That defense didn't sway a panel of Washington, D.C. judges in a separate immunity case, while the Supreme Court has also agreed to hear. A ruling, if it lands on Monday, could determine Trump's eligibility to appear not only in the Colorado race, but in a number of other states that have attempted to bar him from their primary and general election ballots, including Illinois and Maine. The national broadcaster ABC News has also covered the same story. The Supreme Court says it will release one or more opinions on Monday, 4th of March, a day before the Super Tuesday primaries, in an announcement widely expected to resolve a dispute over states' ability to remove former President Donald Trump from the ballot under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. The Supreme Court had not previously been scheduled for a public sitting, when traditionally decisions in cases argued during the term would be read aloud and handed down. The justices will not take the bench, according to the High Court's website. Opinions released on Monday, 4th of March, will be done electronically. Last month, the justices heard expedited oral arguments in Donald Trump's appeal of a Colorado State Supreme Court decision that would ban the former president from the 2024 ballot for his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. A majority of the justices at the time appeared highly skeptical that an individual state has the authority to deny a candidate for federal office from the ballot as an insurrectionist, as Colorado did. A decision in Trump v. Anderson would come one day before Colorado voters head to the polls. While Donald Trump's name is already on the ballot there, the ruling could determine whether votes for Donald Trump could be counted and would bring clarity to the High Court's view on a 150-year-old constitutional provision and attempts to enforce it against Trump nationwide. Bloomberg News Agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. The U.S. Supreme Court hinted it might rule on Monday, 4th of March, on efforts to bar Donald Trump from the presidential election ballot in Colorado, adding a new opinion day to its calendar, just as voters prepared to head to the polls in Colorado on Super Tuesday. The court never says in advance which opinions it will issue on particular days, but it has handled the Colorado ballot case on an expedited basis, and a ruling on Monday, 4th of March, would provide clarity about Trump's eligibility before Colorado's Super Tuesday Republican primary. The announcement of a new opinion day over a weekend is unusual, all the more so because the justices aren't taking the bench on Monday, as they normally do for rulings. The Supreme Court revealed the new opinion day on its website. The Colorado Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump was ineligible to appear on the ballot because of his role in the 6th of January 2021 riot at the Capitol. The ruling was the first to bar Donald Trump from the ballot under the Insurrection Clause of the Constitution's 14th Amendment. The Colorado court put its ruling on hold, meaning Donald Trump could appear on primary ballots, while the Supreme Court considers the issue. A state official in Maine and a judge in Illinois have also declared Trump ineligible to appear on the primary ballot, though those decisions are also on hold. Arguments in February suggested that the Supreme Court would let Donald Trump appear on the ballot. The Colorado ballot case is one of more than 30 that have been argued but not yet decided in the Supreme Court's current term.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
That
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with a large number of women from across the country. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on December 27, 2023, a week before the birth anniversary of Lady Fatimatu Zahra, peace be upon her. This day is celebrated as Women's Day in Iran. I can say that motherhood is the most important role in the world of creation. This is because without motherhood, without the birth of children, and without pregnancies and breastfeeding, the human race would cease to exist. Therefore, motherhood is the most important role in the world of creation and in the realm of humans' material existence. Islam places importance on this. I also encourage you to give importance to this matter and to pursue it. And the same applies to the point I mentioned earlier about sexual attraction. Many of the tasks at home should be performed based on a mutual understanding. Some people think that working in the home is a woman's duty. No, working in the home is definitely not a woman's duty. It is not a woman's duty to cook food, wash clothes, or clean. Men and women must come to an understanding with each other. Now, fortunately, some men do these things. They work in the home and help their wives. They take care of some of the household chores. In any case, everyone should know that this is not a woman's duty.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Islamic sources emphasize that the age for getting married should not go up very much and that young people should marry earlier to prevent the dangers posed by sexual attraction. However, this does not mean the marriage of children, which is now being talked about. Rather, Islam promotes marriage at the appropriate time for adolescents, young people, men, women, girls, and boys, as it is beneficial not only for themselves but also for society. Therefore, when considering the issue of hijab, it should not be viewed as a means for restricting women. It is not a means for deprivation. On the contrary, hijab is actually a blessing that brings safety, security, and protection. Now, in the Islamic Republic, although we have not yet been able to become Islamic in the true sense of the word, I have said this many times that it is only partially Islamic, at the same time, you see that women's accomplishments in the Islamic Republic are incomparable to before.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the World with Reporters.
Hezbollah's Deputy Secretary General Sheikh Naim Qasem stressed the readiness of the Lebanese resistance to face any possible Israeli aggression against Lebanon. He said any Israeli act of aggression would trigger an advanced version of the 2006 war, when the Tel Aviv regime suffered a humiliating defeat at the hands of Hezbollah.
The Zionist enemy continues to threaten us with military aggression. We respond by means of steadfastness, resistance, and retaliatory strikes. We hereby declare that if they commit a foolish act and attack our territories, there would then be a new version of the July 2006 war.
He warned Israelis that Hezbollah would fight in an even more sophisticated manner in any future confrontation, stressing that the outcome will eventually be a victory for the resistance fighters. Sheikh Qasem was speaking at the 6th International Conference for the Union of Resistance Scholars in Lebanon's capital, Beirut. Representatives of the Palestinian resistance factions also stressed that the United States' all-out support for the Israeli warmongering policies has given a cover to the Israeli regime to continue its atrocities as its genocidal Gaza war has marked 150 days. Hamas official Osama Hamdan stressed that Muslim nations are duty-bound to foil U.S.-Israeli plots against war-torn Gaza.
It is the duty of Arabs and Muslims worldwide to take the initiative and foil Israel's conspiracy of starvation. The countries neighboring the Gaza Strip must not stand idly by and should take a concrete measure, especially for Gazans in the north.
Scholars and thinkers from diverse Muslim countries have come together to voice their support for the Palestinian people and the resistance. They sent a message of solidarity for Palestinians in war-torn Gaza as Israel's unbridled and unfazed brutality continues unabated.
50 scholars, top scholars from 25 countries, they are gathered here, and hopefully they will reach to any kind of the solution, kind of support and solidarity for the people.
The Palestinians are sending a very strong message. That, look, you be answerable to this. You know, the accountability is not only in Israel who are the murderers, but accountability should also be there among the Muslims. Why are you not doing anything? So that's why Palestinians are giving that voice. They are struggling. They are saying they're going to fight to the end. And therefore, they say, if you want to help, it's your responsibility. It's not we appealing.
With the Israeli regime's genocidal war in Gaza now in its fifth month and over 30,000 civilian fatalities, scholars in Beirut assert that the resistance in the region has no choice but to continue its armed struggle until the final victory.
The Muslim clerics in support of the resistance have stressed through their discussions and meetings here in Beirut that the Palestinian cause is a reason for unity and solidarity. They say the teachings of the Quran have drawn a roadmap for supporting the Palestinian people in their struggle to free a land considered holy to all Muslims. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
A series of restrictions were imposed on the Yemeni economy following the U.S. redesignation of the Ansarullah movement as a terrorist group earlier this year. This blacklisting has had an impact on the humanitarian situation in the war-torn country, where millions of people are in dire need of aid.
Ansarullah as a political component has no external economic relations or companies in the private sector that have real weight in the national economy. The real goal of the resolution is to blackmail Ansarullah and distort their position in support of Gaza. The Yemeni economy has been in a state of siege for 9 years, and therefore the American measures putting pressure on the local economy we believe will not have much effect, especially since the Yemeni economy has withstood pressure over the past years and adapted to the measures imposed by the exiled Yemeni government in Riyadh.